Good morning. Hey, Rick, what's the grandson's name? Houston. So, here's, and I'm going to say this, not everybody will agree with me, but I love the fact the offering plates are up here. And I loved watching Houston today because you know what? He ran up here. He was excited to put that check in the plate. And I think, I know he runs everywhere, but it was pretty cool, and it brought me back to, are we always joyful in what we do for God? Sometimes I think, I made Shelby get up and bring her check this morning, and she said, ugh. But she did it, you know, and it's pretty cool when you see things like that, and it's just little things that, I'll tell you, I'm going to honor a couple or three graduates today. And the little guy bringing that up reminded me just how quick time flies. So, with that, we have three graduates. Hunter, Braden, and Emma. If you guys could come up, please. I promise not to embarrass you too bad. Hunter, you can come on up. Now, that was easy because they knew it was coming. Now, if I could have Keith, Dylan, and Doug come up as well. Please. I know you guys aren't wild about it. So, this is something we do every year for our graduates. And this year is kind of different because... Oh, Lord, just because everything's different in 2020. So this is going to be a little different. And these guys didn't know this was coming. And if you don't want to do this, it's fine. I'll struggle through. But I'll introduce these guys. This is Emma Artrip. Emma graduated from Gilead Christian. And Emma, what are you doing after?
We'll figure it out.
Not sure. Emma's undecided in her major. So, but I've watched Emma grow up because I coached Laura several times, and I always just knew Emma as Laura's little sister. But you know, Emma Artrip, she's her own person. She's been fun to watch. And Keith, congratulations. Next is Hunter. Baldwin. I'm more nervous in doing this than these guys are because I want to make sure they get their tribute. Hunter, I remember Hunter coming to youth group, and he was in 7th or 8th grade, and he was about this tall. And I saw Hunter this fall on the football field, and he looked like he was like 7 foot tall because height and football equipment just don't match, and that ugly purple he was wearing didn't... made him look gangly. But no, Hunter, he's been fun to watch over the last few years, and been a joy for his dad. What are you doing after school? Construction. So he works construction. You still work at Kroger? No? There you go. Carpenters Union, good place to be. So there's Hunter. And then Braden Black, and Doug, congratulations. I don't want to do that. Braden, Dylan and I went to school together, so it's been kind of fun watching our kids go to school together as well. Braden graduated from Northmore High School. Hunter graduated from Mount Gilead. I didn't say that. Braden graduated from Northmore. He will be attending Kentucky Christian, correct? Playing baseball? No. Yes. Majoring in nursing. This kid's smart. Don't try to carry on a conversation with him because he won't talk to you. I'm kidding. Braden, I've watched him grow since I watched him play t-ball with my nephew, actually. And it's been kind of fun to watch. And again, he's a big strapping dude, bigger than his dad. I know he could take his dad. But he thinks he could take his dad. But as dads, we all know, right? Hunter's never going to have that advantage over Doug. Braden's never going to have that advantage over Dylan. Even though they may be stronger, they may be smarter, they may be more in shape, as dads, we're always going to win. Okay? We're always going to win. And it's a strong-willed battle.
I know you didn't mention my name.
No, I think you'd win too, Keith. No. Okay, Keith admits Emma would take him, but I don't know. My girls would take me too. But Braden Black, congratulations. Dylan, congratulations. And as these guys go back, I'm going to bring the graduates back up to end. The elders are going to pray for them, pray with them. But this is your graduating class of 2020 and their dads. So let's give them one round of applause. Thank you guys for appeasing me. And as they go back, Julie, can you hit that song? I had a song come on the radio this week. Man, I mean to tell you, I sat in my car and bawled. Just a pretty powerful song. And those of you that don't know, Father's Day for me, I have two of my three here. My third one got on a plane and headed overseas to fulfill her duty to her country. And she arrived yesterday after a 22-hour flight. She was glad to be wheels down. I was relieved that they were wheels down. But this song really hit me this week, and I think you understand why.
You're my honey bun sugar plum, a beauty umpkin. You're my sweetie pie. You're my cupcake gumdrop, snickle be spickum pure. The apple of my eye.
I got sent home from school one day with a shiner on my eye. Fighting was against the rules and it didn't matter why. When Dad got home, I told that story just like I rehearsed. Then stood there on those trembling knees and waited for the worst. And he said, let me tell you a secret about a father's love. A secret that my daddy said was just between us. He said, daddies don't just love their children every now and then. It's a love without an amen. It's a love without end, amen. When I became a father in the spring of 81, there was no doubt that stubborn boy was just like my father's son. And when I thought my patience had been tested to the end, I took my daddy's secret and I passed it on to him. I said, let me tell you a secret about a father's love. A secret that my daddy said was just between us. I said, daddies don't just love their children every now and then. It's a love without end, amen. It's a love without end, amen. Last night I dreamed I died and stood outside those pearly gates. When suddenly I realized there must be some mistake. If they know half the things I've done, they'll never let me in. But then somewhere from the other side, I heard these words again. They said, let me tell you a secret about a father's love. A secret that my daddy said was just between us. daddies don't just love their children every now and then. It's a love without end, amen. It's a love without end, amen.
So that's George Strait. He's pretty cool. But that's a great song. And my challenge is, we don't realize how much our fathers love us until sometimes it's too late. And I'll speak to the dads who have kids right now that are younger. Man, you're going to butt heads. You're going to have to be the cops. You're going to have to be the bad guy. You're going to have to be the guy that comes and picks up the pieces and puts it all together again. I've reached that point with two of my daughters. Morgan, I think, still hates me from time to time, because I'm still having to play bad cop a lot with her. Not a lot. Some. And I get to pick up the pieces with her, too. But you know, as a father, there is nothing better than your adult child thanking you and saying, I love you for everything you've done for me. There's nothing better. Guys, we have a Father in heaven who's done a lot more than I've done for my kids. He's never going to forsake us. He's never going to give up on us. He is always going to pick up the pieces. We take him for granted. That song hit home. We're going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, just calm my mind and just let your words come out, Lord. I know that this is the message you want me to present. I know that this is where you wanted me to go. There's been no doubt about that, Lord. Just shut my mind down and let me be your mouthpiece today, Lord. I lift up all the fathers. I lift up all the graduates. Lord, it's a scary time for some. It's a happy time for all, but it's a scary time for some. There's uncertainty. There's dads just don't want to let go. Lord, just have your hand in each situation there, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. So we're going to be in you're going to laugh at me when I tell you. We're going to be in Luke today. Luke chapter 15. And when, you know, here's how messages go with me. I'm driving around in my car, and I've thought about many different things we could preach on. And as the week goes on, and I know it's getting to be Wednesday, and I haven't got my text message from Julie saying, hey, what's your message this week? I start pressing about Thursday because I know that text is coming. This text never came. She's being patient with me. So I sent her a text message Friday, well before the bulletins needed to be printed. And I was pretty proud that God gave it to me. So I typed in grads and dad 2020. Did not look twice. Did not think twice. Technology is stupid. Because it should have known what I wanted to say, and instead it said, grass and dads 2020. Okay, so the title should be grads and dad 2020, not grass and dad. I ain't talk enough about grass. But we're going to be in Luke chapter 15, and we're going to start in verse 11. It's a parable of the lost son. And you're going to say, what? We're talking about Father's Day, happy day, and we're talking about graduation. How are you going to use parable of the lost son? I'm not. God is. First of all, okay? I'm ignorant. See, I just sent grass and dads. Okay? Jesus continued. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. And guys, you can use this as, you know, when my kids graduated, they got their third of my inheritance, $50 check, and graduation party. Okay? What they did with that $50 was their business. But as these graduates head off to college, maybe head off to workforce, head off to, I don't know, military, head off to wherever they're headed to, Dad, here's a couple things you need to understand. You've done your job raising them. You've got to let God have them. That is hard. That is hard. But you have equipped them with everything they need to be successful. And I know Hunter and Doug and Emma and Keith and Braden and Dylan. I know not every day is peaches with 18-year-old, 17-year-old kids. I get it. But you have equipped him, you have equipped her, and you have equipped him to make decisions. Are they always going to be the correct ones? Nope. My dad still reminds me of decisions I make that are ridiculous today. Of course, he's my neighbor, so it's kind of hard for him not to see the stupid stuff I do. It is what it is. But you know, at the end of the day, I always come back to my dad for advice. And I guarantee you, these three graduates, dads, and I'll include moms, are always going to come back to you for advice. It may be advice on how to fix a stupid mistake they made. Or it may be advice, "Hey, Dad, I got this decision I got to make. What do you think?" Then it's on you, dads. I know where I go for that decision. I ask the father, "Hey, my kids want this decision made. I'm not making that decision for them." Okay? So, this kid, and it doesn't really say how old he is. He's a younger. Let's say he's 18 years old. He wants his inheritance. He wants to roll. He wants to go see the world. You know, this dad didn't hesitate. It doesn't say that he hesitated. He divided the inheritance and gave it to him. You know, and I laugh and I joke about my kids. I have three different levels. I have Penny Pincher. I have Miss Spend-a-Lot. And I have Morgan, who's 17, so she doesn't have total freedom of everything yet. But you know, Shelby and Keith, I'm sure you have the same, or Dylan, you have the same, Doug. He's probably all three combined. He spends a lot, okay. But Shelby is a miser, okay? Shelby does not spend money. Shelby is very responsible in what she does most of the time. I tell her, you know, "Shelby, those are the shoes I bought you for 7th grade basketball. Why are you still wearing them? They're just getting broken, Dad." Bottom line is, she doesn't want to buy her own shoes. And it's not even about the money. It's about walking to that wall of shoes and trying to make a decision. Because Shelby doesn't like decisions on color or style. Does not. But she's doing well. Lindsay, she sure spends a lot. I am on a frequent flyer. You know the little card you get at like Pizza Hut that says if you buy 10, you get one free or whatever? I have that with UPS and the FedEx guy. I get a special gift after the 10th delivery. Because I kid you not, every day of the week, well, 3 out of the 5 days a week, I'm getting something from UPS or FedEx. Lindsay has Amazon Prime. She says, Dad, they'll ship it today. It's cheaper than me going to the store. Okay. And then Morgan works at Galleon. And I still have access to her bank account or checking account because it's a joint account with me. And she'll go to work. And there'll be days when she'll stop for a Tim Hortons coffee or a McDonald's iced coffee, which to me blows my mind. How do you drink iced coffee? Anybody drink iced coffee other than Morgan? Of course you would, Jamie. It's caffeine, okay. Iced coffee. I don't like to taste coffee hot. I'm sure not going to drink it cold. Anyway, my point is, all of your kids have a different opinion. Much like this guy's boys had a difference. The oldest one, most of our oldest kids, if we have multiple kids, are what? I was an oldest kid, so I can say this. Shelby, I got you. They're the perfectionist. They're the pleaser. They're the ones you usually only have to tell something to once. Am I right? Was your oldest that way? Paul? Les? Burlton? Okay. Dwayne? Your oldest is the more responsible? No. Your oldest is the more serious about what she's doing. Brenna's good time girl, right? Yeah. I get it. I got one of those too. But that's the way this was set up. And as a father, I hope that when my kids decide they want to move that far away, I'm wise enough to say, okay, here's what I owe you. Or here's what, So let's read on. This is my concern with, not Lindsay, because she may spend money while she's over there, but she ain't going out pawn, she's not going to go out on the town over there. But this guy spent all of his inheritance and was so broke he wasn't eating, right? Okay, let's move on. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. Now, guys, I'm going to tell you, feeding pigs back then was not like feeding pigs today. Feeding pigs today, I've dumped to feed Levi, correct me if I'm wrong. This is the way it was when I fed pigs. I dumped the feed bag in the feeder that'll hold 150 pounds, and I'm done. Right? Back then, you know what they fed pigs? The leftovers, the garbage, the messy, yucky junk. And guys, why do I tell you this? Why do I expand that? Because your kids will go through messy, yucky, stinky junk. They will. Mine have, Matt's have, Les's have. They will go through messy, stinky, yucky junk. That's one of those times we got to pick up the pieces. We got to support. Not always say, I told you so. We got to support. So, but no one gave him anything. Or, no, let's go back. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the peas were eating. Hey, guys, can you imagine being so hungry that you want to eat that slop that came out of the trash? This kid was broken. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" So he got up and went to his father. And guys, our kids are going to do that. We do that. Anybody ever been so broken that the only place they could turn to was to your father? You know, the beauty of Christianity is, guys, he's there all the time. He's there before we know he's there if we've fallen away. He never leaves us. This father was going to get his son back, but his son thought he was coming back as a servant because he wasn't worthy. Guys, our kids, whether they're 4 or 28 or 50, they are going to feel like they are not worthy to be our son or daughter. Not sure mine will ever feel that way because they know how dumb I am. They've taken part in most of my dumb escapades here lately. And they'll be sitting over there shaking their head, but they'll do it anyway because they know Dad's doing it. And I know they have a better plan, but they let me go to the top rung of that ladder and then being slightly overweight, the ladder falls out from under me and I'm hanging from the barn rafters. It wasn't a good idea for me to be on that ladder that high, but the girl's like, "Yeah, Dad, you can do it." They were holding the ladder. You know, Shelby was 10 or 12. "You got it, Dad, you got it." Some dumb things I've done. But our kids will always come back to us. As Christians, we always come back to our Father. Let's read on. "But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him." I want you to swallow this for a minute, because this guy, I'm sure he was heartbroken when his son left. Right? And what happens after we get heartbroken? We get hardened so that we don't sit around and bawl about it all the time, right? And I don't know. Back then they probably didn't have binoculars. You know, they didn't have text messages. You know, here's the deal. When my kids leave the house, I have this thing called Find My Friends. I always know where they are. And I usually text them or call them and say, "Hey, where you at?" Oh, no, you're not. Or, "Okay, you'll be home in a few." But this guy didn't have any of that technology. So I imagine him standing here like this, looking. And you know, I can tell which one of my three daughters is coming from a long way away by their gait. As a dad, you just know. The way they walk, the way they carry themselves, whatever. So from a long way away, I'm saying, "Oh gosh, here comes Shelby, or here comes Lindsay, or here comes Morgan." But let me tell you, there's a little difference to that story than this story. I'm not running to anybody. You don't get this bodybuilder's physique by running. You eat pizza. Yeah. Anyway. But this guy ran to his son, and he was overjoyed, and he threw his arms around him and kissed him. Kids, here's what I want you to understand. No matter how stinky or ugly or messy your life gets, your parents, I'm not going to say just your dads, your parents will run to you with open arms, and they will love you unconditionally. It's a love without end. Amen. Then soon the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. I love the father's response. Because this is me when that aha moment comes up in my girls' lives. When something finally clicks with them, man, it's the proudest moment of your life. It says, but the father said to his servants, quickly, bring the best robe and put it on him. Bring one of my rings and put it on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is now alive again. He is lost, but now is found. So they began to celebrate. Guys, here's what I want you to take from that. And I'm not saying your kids are all going to disown you and walk away and then come back and you're going to have this big aha moment. But enjoy those times, you know, as Braden leaves for school. And that's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. And then you get that first phone call and they say, how's class going? Oh, I'm here to go to class. I'm here to play baseball, Dad. Kidding, because Braden, that's an aggressive, aggressive program to go into his nursing. And, not for me. And as Emma and as Hunter go on their ways, we're all as dads going to get joy out of seeing little things they accomplish. And as they come home, that first whatever, Hunter, you staying at home, living at home? Emma, you home? I tell my kids, live at home as long as you want. But if you move out to get married or you move out to get an apartment, you're gone. Once I get accustomed to living without you, you're gone. Shelly will be there till she's 112. Morgan's probably a no. I turn 18 next April. I'm out of here. Still, because her and I butt heads. But guys, when they come back, you know, when Lindsay comes back, and I don't even know when that's going to be, there's going to be a party. Because I'm a pretty proud dad, and I hope the other two don't get offended. Because I'm proud of them too. Man, when they're away, it's tough. When Shelby was away at college, it was tough. Luckily, Chris keeps me pretty busy. Yeah, we do a lot of things. Cool. But this guy brought everything out. All of the best he brought. And we know later in the story, and I'm not really going to get into that today because I just wanted to cover that homecoming. But later in the story, the other son gets kind of jealous. He gets mad and he blows up. You know, that's going to happen too. But my point to this whole thing is sharing this was when those kids get old enough to leave, when they come home, it's ever so sweet. And you don't think if we can feel that as human beings, that our God the Father doesn't feel that? When he sees us struggling, it breaks his heart. Especially because we don't let him in. But what happens? A light bulb goes off, and we let him in, and then, man, it is like he runs to us. And he picks me up in those big arms, and it's just like, yes, you're home. So, graduates, I tell you this, your parents will always love you unconditionally. That's their job. Okay? As young people, your job is to reciprocate that love unconditionally, because your moms and your dads are going to make mistakes. They're going to make mistakes in parenting. They're going to make mistakes in decisions they make. They're going to make mistakes. You know how they've learned how to be parents? From the mistakes they've made in the past. And I guarantee you, your dad tells you not to do things because it was something stupid he did when he was your age. Right? Emma, same thing. Your dad, your mom tell you not to do things because it's something they've already learned or they've grown through, or Laura's done it before. Right, Laura? Brayden's the oldest, so he doesn't get the privilege. He's breaking mom and dad in. Trevor and Isaac and Brooklyn, I feel bad for you. But it's cool how each of our kids are different. But it's cool how they all come back, just like we do as Christians, come back to the heart and soul of our Father. I'm going to leave you with this. We're going to turn to Jeremiah. This is for the graduates mostly, but one of my favorite verses, passages. I've used it for, I don't know, last couple graduations I've used, but it's chapter 29, verse 11. And I'm speaking to the graduates, but I'm also speaking to you dads out there, because guys, no matter what's going on in your life, you need to understand God's in charge. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. My plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in a future. And here's why. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Guys, if we're just getting beat up all the time, God understands we're not going to come to Him, are we? So He wants to prosper. He wants us to be healthy. In return, what does He want? He wants us to come to Him. Don't wait till it gets ugly. And I wrote each graduate a little note, and in that, each one of them, I put, your church family prays for you daily. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I know Les has got a list about this long. Matt's got three books full of names he prays for. Man, I'm telling you, this church, we've seen it time and time again. The power of prayer works. And we're going to pray with you here in a minute. And we're going to pray for you here in a minute. We want God to have His hand on you. And we want God to steer your course, because He's ultimately in charge. And if you guys will be patient and listen to what that course is, it may be something totally different than what you're thinking now. God will prosper you and make you successful, because He wants that relationship with you. Father, the same goes for you. Don't be hasty with your children. I like to think before I fly off the handle at home. Sometimes I'm good at it, sometimes I'm not. But I would rather have a conversation than a scream session. And that's sometimes hard for us dads, because we want the problem fixed today, right now. I don't want to sleep on it. I don't want to eat supper over it. I don't want to deal with it. I want the problem fixed. If I tell you to do it, and you do it my way. Therein lies the problem. Our Father in heaven doesn't tell us you're going to do it my way, does He? He gives us a choice. Sometimes we choose wrong. But He's still there to pick us up. Dust us off, pat us on the butt, and get back in there. Okay? Graduates, I'm going to close in prayer right here, and then if graduates and their families, if you guys would all come forward, we'd like to just pray with you as a group. as the praise team does a, now you know what? Graduates and your family, come forward, please. And church, if you want to come up and surround them, come up and surround them. You know what? I think these strings are going to go away, because I just feel like that's another thing the devil's using to keep us apart. If you're not comfortable with that, we'll keep them up. But if you want to come up and pray with these graduates and their families, that'd be terrific. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you and we lift up these three young people, Lord, and we lift their families to you. And Lord, just bring your hand down and your arms down and just surround these three young people today. Protect them from harm. Prosper them. Lord, let them hear you in their daily travels. Lord, I pray for the families as they're going through a time of transition, and just put their mind at ease that they've done their job. They've done their raising with these young people. They're all three great kids. The parents have done their job, and let them turn them over to you, Lord, because if we try to hold on, it's a tough, tough battle. We can't fix things anymore, Lord. We just lift these three to you and these three families to you, Lord, and just we want to continue to see them develop and grow and become fine adults, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so now if the praise team come up and lead us an invitation. If anybody has anything, prayer that you need or whatever support that you need, three of us are here. We can get Matt down off the stage. Whatever we need to do. If we have to have a line to wait to pray for people, that's a good thing. Okay? Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the message, and we thank you that you know all about the prodigal son because you are in our lives, and we know that you never leave and you never stop thinking about us, but we have to come back to you, Lord. And when we do, we're just so thankful that you're there with open arms to scoop us up and to take care of us and to guide us the rest of our lives, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you.